Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We appreciate you listening to AFR each and every day. If you're new to American Family Radio, welcome. And we consider ourselves a gathering place for Christians to come and discuss the issues of our day and what's going on in our country, and certainly exalt the Word of God, which is the Bible, and bring you accurate news and information. So all those things we try to do each and every day here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Anything else we try to do here?
I was going to say
save the planet or
make people more betterer, but that's tomorrow.
No, that's tomorrow. Yeah. That's tomorrow. We do make our contributions to...
Well, I know someone's already saved the planet, you know, Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
So I went right for the Trump card,
you
so
did.
To speak.
You did. You over-spiritualized
right.
me.
That's right.
You put, you know.
Jesus already saved the planet.
Okay.
There'll be a new heavens and a new earth.
But that is true.
Yes, it is true.
All right. Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here on the show.
You agree with everything Ed and I have said so far?
Hey, I can't disagree, so I guess I agree.
That's a country song, a line in a country song you just quoted, I think.
Yeah. It's a fancy way of saying, yes, I do agree.
What did you say? I can't disagree, so I guess I agree.
Yeah.
And
it's just loaded words to basically mean that I agree with Ed.
Yeah. You know, he's getting into politics too much.
Yeah. So he's starting to talk like a politician. Fred Jackson's here with us. Hey, by the way, your show, Exposing Washington, which is a new hit here on American Family Radio, what are you going to be talking about this weekend?
Well, I appreciate the compliment. It's the first one I've had from you in a while.
Well, I'm your daddy.
Maybe ever on this show.
Well, if you can't get a compliment occasionally from your daddy, who can you get one from?
That's right. Hey, thanks for asking. The show this weekend, seriously.
Thanks for giving me the question to ask you.
Yeah, the show this weekend is going to be very interesting. And I'm going to talk about a couple things. First, I'm going to talk about President Trump's meeting with North Korea.
Okay.
Analyze that, the good, the bad. And then I'm going to talk about this Inspector General report that's coming out today on the Clinton email probe. And how Comey and McCabe handled that.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah,
that's
and huge just to news. Give you a tease, the tease is, from what we're seeing now, the Inspector General reaffirms what we've all said, and that is that Comey has no business exonerating or non-exonerating a criminal suspect, which he did. He said no reasonable prosecutor, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, the Inspector General reaffirmed that and said that Comey was out of line in doing that. But much more will come for that, but we'll talk about it Saturday at 2:30 Central.
You know, I got to say, this Inspector General report that's coming out, now I hate to do this to you, but you know what I can't get out of my head? Da-da-da-da-da, Inspector General, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Remember Inspector Gadget?
Cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, from the 70s,
so
from
you guys the 60s? You guys don't remember that.
I remember the Inch-Eye Private Eye cartoon.
I can't get the Inspector General's, the Inspector Gadget song out of my head every time I see
Ladies
something
and gentlemen,
about Inspector
and
General.
And you ask me, why do you have Ed on this show? This is it. These gold nuggets Ed inserts into our program.
That's right. I'm making y'all look good.
Just, you know, add so much and draw so many listeners to our show. Okay, Walker, before we move to Fred, who... Mm-hmm. Can get us started on the news of the day. How can folks engage with us on the internet?
Sure. There's multiple ways to keep up with
multiple, Walker said.
Yeah, maybe too many to keep up with, but we'll give it a shot. First off, we're on Facebook and YouTube live streaming. You can watch the radio show on both of those places. Also on Facebook, you can catch the news stories we talk about. I'll link each news story that we discuss on our Facebook page if you want to read more into that. Lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your mobile device. Many people listen to our show each day on their mobile device. You can do that by simply typing in AFR on your app store, download the app, and then you can listen anytime, anywhere.
Now, whose phone ding? Was that mine?
I think so.
All right. Turn that thing off. Fred, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Just been enjoying the show.
Yeah. Well, couldn't you just listen to Ed all day?
Hey, there are some people in this world who've had to wrestle with that.
Fred's not even, he doesn't know, he's waiting to answer the question. He's thinking it through.
I'm impressed. We're blessed by Ed's preaching in our devotions.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah, we are.
He gives really good messages.
But he hasn't said anything about being on this show. About
right. If,
on
you,
the show.
If you go to Yelp, Ed's messages get a 3.8 stars okay. among our staff. Did
but
you
his
know
participation,
that?
But no, I didn't.
Yeah.
His participation on today's issues.
Ed and I have worked on shows for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Going back to AFA report days.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
If you don't know what you're getting with Ed Vitagliano, you just haven't been paying attention.
That's right. That's right. No, lots of fun.
All right, Fred, what's going on?
All right, as Walker was mentioning, the big news story today is going to be the release of the Michael Horowitz report. We're told it's about 500 pages long. Now, how much of that the public will get to see? That's another question.
Now, what's this about now? Again, to refresh people.
All right. This is looking into how the FBI / Obama Justice Department handled the investigation into Hillary Clinton keeping her email server at her house. And you remember the initial comments coming from Hillary Clinton? Well, if you're really interested in the emails I send between myself and my daughter and how we're going to get together for coffee and I'm going to babysit the... Yeah, that's what she told the public initially. But we all found out very quickly there were top secret, confidential, state-related, because she was Secretary of State at the time, state-related emails on that server sitting in her house. I think it was the bathroom closet or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. So the FBI investigates all of this, and as Walker's alluded to, initially, FBI director at the time, James Comey, came out and said, really not that, she did some things wrong, but nothing criminal, so we're going to let her go. And then, a few weeks later, he says, we're reopening the investigation. And that was because they discovered some of these emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop, the husband of...
Uma Abedin.
Uma Abedin.
Yeah.
Sounds like a card game. Yeah. Hey, anybody want to play some Uma Abedin?
And you're making fun of my music.
Yeah. Sorry. Who's up for a little Uma Abedin?
Yeah.
Get the cards out.
Uma.
Yeah.
Uma.
Go ahead.
Abedin. Anyway, as the Associated Press put it this morning, there's probably going to be something in this report a little bit for both parties, both Republicans. It's probably going to justify the angst and anger that President Trump has had for James Comey and justifying his firing. On the flip side, the Democrats are looking forward to hearing confirmation, they think, that the report will basically condemn the FBI and James Comey for changing his mind about the investigation just days before the election in 2016, because Hillary Clinton and many Democrats have blamed Comey coming out and saying, we're reopening this thing just a few weeks before the election.
You know, on that point, I don't think James Comey had a choice. I'm critical of a lot of the things that he did or didn't do, but on the what he was left with there with, what, 2 or 3 weeks out from the election, which got the Clinton people and the Democrats all upset.
And many of them called for Comey's firing at that time.
That's right.
Yeah, for altogether different reason than President Trump fired him for, ultimately after whatever months he was in office. But James Comey, the FBI director, it was discovered that Anthony Weiner, the husband of Uma Abedin.
He's a congressman, too.
Right? Former.
Former. Mm. Was he a congressman at the time?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, but she's the top confidant for Hillary Clinton, Uma Abedin.
Mm-hmm.
She's married to this. You can't make this stuff up. This is like some kind of novel or something. She's married to this Anthony Weiner pervert. And he's, sexting teenage girls, and he's in his mid-30s or early 40s probably. Turns out on the computer that he has top secret State Department stuff because he's sharing this computer, I guess, with his wife. Mm-hmm. So the FBI learns this, that these things are been exposed and to the world. And so the investigation is having to be reopened. Well, James Comey, FBI director, what if he had not said anything? If he had just said, if he had not said anything and later did it turned out that then he would have been accused by Republicans of trying to cover for Hillary Clinton again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he had any choice but to say that the investigation had been reopened. And you know what? That's not his fault. That's not the FBI's fault. That's Uma Abedin's fault. That's Hillary Clinton's fault. That's Anthony Weiner's fault. It's all on them that this investigation is having to be reopened and we're having to announce it to the public because I, James Comey, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not a James Comey fan. I'm saying, but in that particular situation, I don't think he had a choice.
But does he have to? Does he have to mention? Does he have to make public what the FBI is investigating?
Well, maybe
I think that
not.
Was.
Maybe
I think that
not.
Was part of the charge the Democrats were. And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I think what happened is he had to notify a congressional committee.
Yes.
That was overseeing the investigation too.
Right. Which
the
made
Republicans,
it public.
And then the Republicans, of course, talked to reporters.
Yeah. Right.
And it goes on.
And so they had to. Anyway, but again, all this is Hillary Clinton's fault. If you want to blame somebody for all this, she's the one that first said, hey, put my server in the bathroom. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't want any congressional oversight on what I'm going to be doing as Secretary of State. I don't want those Republican bozos up there questioning me.
Right.
So put it in the bathroom and everybody shut your mouth. Only problem was she got found out. I forgot how she got found out.
She was found out by the Intelligence Community Inspector General. The Inspector General that oversees the NSA,
they busted
CIA,
her.
The Intelligence Services, they busted her.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So that's all coming out this afternoon. Has the FBI, has the AP put it, people familiar with the report's findings say the Inspector General has reached unflattering conclusions for many FBI officials.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to see names like Peter Strzok. We've talked about him before.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy, the FBI agent mm-hmm. that James Comey put mm-hmm. in charge of the investigation. And eventually, he found himself with the Mueller team, the Robert Mueller team, looking into alleged collusion, But he was fired from the Mueller team after it was learned through text messages between Peter Strzok and his FBI girlfriend, Lisa Page, that they loved Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And they were all in for her. So he was fired from the Mueller team. But as far as I know, I think he's still working at the FBI.
He is.
In human resources.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is also going to be a soap opera soon to air on NBC.
It's in the next James Bourne movie. Yeah, all this.
Days of Our Lives will be going off the air and Days of the FBI will be starting.
And one more person.
To the autograph.
One more person likely be mentioned in this. Loretta Lynch.
Loretta Lynch.
The Attorney General at the time. Yes. Because there's going to be mention of the
tarmac
accidental meeting at the tarmac Phoenix or wherever that was, Palm Springs.
It was Phoenix.
Yeah, because the former president and AGs just randomly meet in airports all the time.
That's right.
Well, they wanted to play a game of Uma Abedin. So, you know. So
and talk about the grandkids,
Hey, your deal.
Yeah. Remember Loretta Lynch and
Uma Abedin.
And James Comey testified about this, that Loretta Lynch had tried to pressure him to call it a matter he was looking into rather saying investigation.
Yeah.
And then, we've talked about this before, there's now some proof because of the messages from Peter Strzok that this went all the way up to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
This the White House wanting
the Obama White House.
The Obama White House using the Justice Department then to get into the Donald Trump campaign and cook up this idea of Russian collusion.
So you're saying all this stuff you're talking about is going to come out today in an official government report?
Mm-hmm. A 500-page report.
And the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, hinting, I think just kind of preparing people, saying when this comes out, heads are going to roll. Likelihood of firings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that yeah. that's I think that Jeff Sessions probably knows and is probably just preparing people mm-hmm. for yeah. the for the
this
heads
thing,
to roll.
This thing mm-hmm. stinks so bad, the whole situation, because many of you remember Hillary's aides bleach bitted, if that's the right word. They bleach bit like 30,000 emails, mm-hmm. which means they technically, from a technological standpoint,
completely
they scrubbed.
Destroyed them.
Yeah, they scrubbed the right. the emails, 30,000, and she claims that all of those were emails to her daughter and friends about getting coffee and going jogging.
She went
jogging.
Through them to make sure yes. that they weren't.
All 30,000.
She checked them. First.
She checked them and made sure that they were all personal, and then she destroyed them.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but I do not email my wife about what we're having for dinner.
30,000 times?
No. And I don't email you about no. going golfing. I text
no.
you.
Yeah.
And when you're Secretary of State, you can't tell me you have time to email your well, daughter about going to get coffee.
Let me just tell you something. She's a liar. Okay? Hillary Clinton is a liar.
Them now, strong words there.
Well, hey, as I've said before, Republicans are well capable of lying too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I would not... Tim Wildman's well capable of lying. I mean, we're all... Hmm. Sinners, we're all human. She's lying there, Hillary Clinton is, to cover herself because you don't let the fox guard the chicken coop. Is that the old saying? In the hen
sure.
house?
Yeah.
Yeah, the
whatever.
Hen house.
The point is, Hillary Clinton decided which emails would be destroyed and so they couldn't be subject to an investigation.
Because she right. was running for president.
Because she's running for president. So it's like you getting to decide for yourself what will be investigated, and so I'm going to destroy whatever I don't want investigated and just tell them that it wasn't worthy of investigation.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Trust me.
Trust me.
The criminal suspect gets to decide what the
yes.
police get to look at.
That's what she did when she destroyed.
Well, I mean, didn't she have assistants take a hammer?
Yeah, literally.
Also to hard drives.
Yeah,
literally. Smash them, and right. then they
like
had the bleaching.
That.
Oh my goodness!
They're smashing phones. And
I mean,
stuff?
Does yes. it does that look guilt? Does it look like guilt to you? Does it look like guilt? You hand the hard drives to your staff and say, "Hey, I'm going to be president. I'm going to remember who's been good to me and who hasn't."
Right.
Take these out behind the building. Grab you each a hammer, and smash this so that nobody can see my communications between my daughter and I about yoga.
And whoever smashes them into the most parts will get a job at the White House.
Right.
When I'm president.
There
the
you
Secretary
go.
Of State.
Yes. All right, Fred. You're listening to Today's Issues. You are too, Fred, right now. You're listening to today. The program you're listening to is called
Well, I'm a little concerned because I think you're jeopardizing the good Clinton name in American political history. They have such a positive image.
You think I'm jeopardizing it, Fred?
There's a little Canadian sarcasm.
Where have you been for 20 years? I think they've done a great job
you know, that
on
is,
their own.
That is funny because here's two people who, as far back as we can tell politically,
Arkansas,
had their eyes on the prize, both of them now,
yes.
to be president.
Uh-huh.
And you look at their reputations
yes.
now. I mean, their reputations. I mean, Bill Clinton getting hammered over hashtag Me Too and all that. Hillary Clinton blew, quote unquote, blew the last election. I mean, they wanted so badly to have a legacy of political dynamism.
Yep.
And that's not what their legacy is going to be. Mm. Going to be
But they're
corruption.
Still out there selling books.
Well, they are.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening. You can watch this show on Facebook. Go to Facebook and go type in Today's Issues. You can watch our show or on YouTube. We have a YouTube page as well. Type in Today's Issues and watch us on YouTube. And next story, Fred.
Yeah, next story. Of course, the big news earlier this week was the Singapore summit, where President Donald Trump sat down with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Now, coming out of that meeting, a lot of the media reports were saying, well, it didn't go as well as what everybody is saying, that the whole idea that we may call off the United States military exercises with South Korea, that's really going to make people upset. and the sanctions issues, et cetera, and President Trump saying that we've now entered a more safe period in our world, all of those things. Well, today, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been meeting with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Listen what he had to say about the summit. He says South Koreans strongly support the outcome of the summit between Trump and Kim Jong-un. And here's what he had to say. And that bad reviews of the meeting were from people isolated from public thinking. I think that's the polite South Korean way of saying from people who don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
There you have it.
So, you're saying the president of South Korea is praising President Trump?
Yes. He is very satisfied with the outcome of the summit.
Because one of the criticisms was that President Trump, what he has done, is leaving South Korea and Japan vulnerable.
Yes.
And apparently the South Korean president didn't know that. He didn't know that. He probably should read the New York Times to find out about this deal that he was taking part in too, as well.
Yes.
I mean, there had been preliminary discussions between the North Korean leader and the South Korean leader. So to imply that this guy didn't know what had just happened to him is an insult to his intelligence.
And one of the other reports that came out of the summit in the mainstream media was that the sanctions were going to be lifted against North Korea. Well, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo clarifying that this morning. Mm-hmm. He is saying no sanctions relief for North Korea until it denuclearizes.
Right.
Now, that could take years. We understand that, and President Trump has said that. So points of clarification being made on as opposed to what the media is reporting and what the administration is saying today, and backed up by the president of South Korea.
Now, they're going to have another meeting in Washington, D.C., aren't they?
There'll be many meetings.
Well, here's the point. The president is working towards peace in that part of the world and the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, which will be great for everybody on the planet. And he knows the spotlight's on him, that is President Trump. This will be a part of his record and his legacy.
Yes, sir.
So I don't think he's going to, I don't think there's a chance that President Trump will agree to something if they're not going to take down their nukes and we're not going to be able to verify it.
Mm-hmm.
He would be derelict as president of the United States if he would agree to anything less than complete verification.
Well, his promise was to denuclearize.
Yes.
The Korean Peninsula.
Yes. Yeah.
That was his campaign promise.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why can't the Democrats and the liberal media be for that?
Because it would be praising Donald Trump and they're going to do everything but.
Yeah.
They'll have to answer to their base.
The Democrats, I mean, really, they get up every morning and anything, they check to see what President Trump is for, Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to come out against it. In fact, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, is making fun of the summit between the president and the leader of North Korea in a sort of a cartoonish way. Not even taking this thing seriously to say we wish the president well. We hope we can bring peace and security to that part of the world. He's making fun of President Trump's meeting, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think the American people are tired of it because everybody sees that this thing is looking good. Who knows? North Korea may totally with us.
Right.
And it may be embarrassing for Trump. But for the time being, things are looking mighty good.
But why can't Chuck Schumer and the Democrats applaud the effort instead of saying things that are demeaning to the process?
Well, they have no message. They have no agenda for the American people. So all they do is get up and bash Trump every day. That's their agenda. And they're hoping it resonates.
Their mamas must not have taught them, if you can't say anything good about somebody, just don't say anything at all. I don't know why the Democrats
everyone
can't
in Congress needs
that.
A refresher course on that one.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's the question. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Congressman Keith Ellison, the Democrat from Minnesota, says he's going to boycott the National Football League this season. Mr. Ellison is angry over the new rule that directs players to either stand for the national anthem or stay inside the locker room. He called the rule unfair, cowardly, and idiotic. That's all well and good. It's a free country. And if Mr. Ellison wants to boycott, that's his right. I mean, lots of conservatives have been boycotting the NFL for quite some time because they believe it's unfair and cowardly for high-dollar athletes to disrespect the nation. As for the Stearns household, well, we shook the proverbial dust off the doormat 2 years ago. I mean, why invest time and money in players who have so little regard for the American way? That's why we are supporting the all-new Alliance of American Football. It's a league that focuses on playing football, not politics. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, Brent Creeley is our producer. Folks, I am not going to do any more singing today. If you were listening in the first segment, that was probably as much off-key singing as you want to hear.
And Brent is queuing up the Hallelujah chorus.
he's not alone. All right, we're going to get back to the news, and we want to welcome Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries. Jan, welcome back once again to Today's Issues.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, now, Fred, what do we want to talk to Jan about today?
Jan, I don't know if you followed the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas this week, but one of the resolutions that they passed was, I think the title was, Pray for Arab Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question we ought to pray for Christians around the world. I was a little surprised by the specificity of it. Pray for Arab Christians because there are Christians being persecuted on the African continent, in China, in Russia. But this was very specific. It said Arab Christians. And I guess I was a little suspicious of that because I think there's been a movement among some elements of the Southern Baptist Convention to speak out against Israel and to favor Palestinian Christians. And I guess I just wondered if there was a message behind that particular resolution.
Well, thankfully, someone sent me, Chad sent me the resolution, which I have in front of me, and I have kind of scrolled through it and read here what I can, a bunch of resolutions concerning exactly what you referenced, Fred. first, the points I read here, I think, are quite legitimate in light of the fact that Arab Christians indeed are surrounded by, dare I say, a lot of Islamic terrorists. But then, having said that, as you say, that is the case in the continent of Africa and other places of the Middle East. And I don't know the mind of those behind Southern Baptist and exactly what their intent was. I think there's no harm in this whatsoever. And we work with Calvary Baptist Church. When I say we, I mean all of Tree Ministries works with Calvary Baptist. Steve Curry and his father, who formed the evangelical outreach to Muslims there within the heart of Israel, a very, very fine organization, one of the best in Israel, I think, particularly reaching out to Arabs. So, you know, I'm fine with this. Now, you raise a really good point. Was there a hidden agenda? Yeah, I just don't know, and you're absolutely right that there's a more of a pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel sentiment, not just in the Southern Baptist, but in all denominations today, every single one.
Good friend of ours, Dr. Michael Brown, was invited to attend a conference recently in the Middle East amongst those who describe themselves as Palestinian Christians. And they invited him with the proviso to tell him right up front they didn't agree with his pro-Israel stance. But they wanted to hear from him why he still believes that God has a special place in his heart for Israel. But this was a group of Palestinian people who described themselves as Palestinian Christians.
Well, Dr. Brown was at the Christ at the Checkpoint, which is every other year in Bethlehem. It's actually... it's appealing to evangelical and mainline Christians around the world every other year in I think I said Bethlehem, I meant to. In Bethlehem, the agenda is to bash Israel, and it's all replacement theology talk, the church is the new Israel, et cetera. They bring in one token evangelical every year. This year it was Michael Brown, who did an excellent job. I know Dr. Brown not well, but I do know him. He did an excellent job, and he provided the truth. I mean, he brought up such issues to the attendees and the planners of the conference, Christ at the Checkpoint. The checkpoint is the place, the point at which Palestinians have to go through every day if they're going into the Israeli territory, so that they're not smuggling in weapons and knives, et cetera, to slash the throat of Israelis. It's the wall of partition, and then there's the checkpoint, and this has saved the lives of, you know, thousands of Israelis. But this conference meets to denounce the wall, you know, tear down the wall so Israelis can all be slaughtered. But Brown got up and said, you know, why aren't you people addressing the fact that the Fogel family was slaughtered like pigs 2-3 years ago in their homes? I mean, why aren't you talking about the more inconvenient truths? But they won't. So he did present a good case. They put him down. They kind of made fun of him. But at least the truth was spoken.
Amen. Amen.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Jan, what do you got coming up on your show this weekend?
Well, a touchy subject, and I kind of give a little heads up here. We're going to be talking about a Christian cult and how parents lost a young person to this Christian cult. We name it. We talk about it, and we give some warnings. It's a two-part series, and also how can parents kind of spot these Christian cults and keep their kids safe, because they're drawn to them. And in some cases, some of these cults even use evangelical language, so it's really hard to tell sometimes. We'll unpack that for the next 2 weekends.
Okay, and your website is?
OliveTreeViews.org, and the program Understanding the Times is AFR, 12 noon Sunday Central, 1 p.m. Saturday Central.
Okay, is it warmed up there in the mid-50s in Minnesota?
Oh, I'm not even going to answer that, Tim.
Okay, all right.
Invite me down perhaps in January.
It's a balmy 58 today in the Twin Cities. All right, Jan, thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay. Hey, this is the time of year you want to go to Canada and Minnesota, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Beautiful there.
I remember about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, my parents, we were just, it was July, in Mississippi, and it was we were all living in a William Faulkner novel day after day after day, and
sweltering heat.
And my parents, who are not given to sort of impromptu, I think they planned something within 2 or 3 weeks to go to Banff
National Park
in is that?
Alberta.
They just decided to go to Canada.
To escape, to survive, so they could. But they said they went to Canada, and it was just like, you know, they left 95 degrees and humidity index of 103 here. Went up there, and it was like 72 in the day and 58 at night. It was just they went up there for like 10 days. It was such a relief.
You can walk on a glacier in those parts.
That is like a I've seen the pictures of that. That's just absolutely stunning. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ian?
The ice, yeah.
Lake Louise.
No, it's Lake Louise is what it's called.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's a glacier, though, right? Would you call it a lake glacier?
There is a glacier up to the north side
right.
of that.
Okay.
That you can take the little tractor and go up there. But Lake Louise is the picture that you see in all the brochures.
Yes.
In that
stunning.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Just picturesque. Yeah. It looks like Switzerland. I mean... Now, is that where do you fly into to get
Calgary?
Calgary, okay.
Yeah.
See, Tim's now thinking.
I'm thinking about
two,
it.
3 weeks.
I'm telling him.
Well,
another 3 weeks here.
Here's the other factor too for Americans. Your American dollar goes a whole lot further in Canada.
Really?
Because of the dollar difference, I think it's about 20 cents difference in the value. So it's a good time to go to Canada.
And the relationship between our president and their president's never been better.
I'm not necessarily saying much, but it's never been better.
It's never been better. So the prime minister, I should say.
Just a quick thing, because this is where my mind goes immediately. What's the food like in Canada? Is it much like the U.S., or is it – it's not like the U.K., is it, where it's, shepherd's pie? And,
well, it depends. I grew up on the east coast of Canada where everything is boiled.
All right? That's like New England,
No, that's the east coast.
Yeah.
Now, as you move into the metropolitan areas like Toronto, Montreal is fantastic, French cuisine. Toronto, you've got Greeks and Italians and everybody
else. It's an international city.
Vancouver's the same way. The best Asian food in North America is in Vancouver.
So, but Calgary is what? Just a lot of barbecue? Or
Calgary is the Dallas of Canada.
Okay.
All right. Although they did something really weird in their last provincial election. They went socialist, which is really dumb. But that's what they did.
Anyway, that's where my mind goes.
If I'm
going to Canada for 2-3 weeks.
You want to know about the food.
I want to know about the food.
I understand.
Yeah.
The food and the weather.
Yeah.
That would be my two questions. By the way, is today President Trump's birthday?
No, I think
it already happened
earlier this week. I think it was earlier this week.
You forgot to give him a call, Tim?
I read where it was today.
Oh, was it today?
On Drudge, it said it was today.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, look at it. We always encourage you to go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com for your news. Some of you do go to Drudge, I know, to check it out as well. And I was reading.
June 14th. Yeah,
it is
today.
Today.
Oh, anyway, 72 years old.
Anyway, he is President Trump, 72?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't you remember when President Reagan won and he was 70 when he got elected?
Yeah.
1980?
That might have been his re-election. In 84 against Walter Mondale, because Mondale started to bring it up, and then Reagan said, he brings up the age, and Reagan said, well, I'm not going to hold your youth and inexperience against you. I think that was 84 against the re-election against Walter Mondale.
All right, I'm looking that up.
Okay.
What you just said. You're right, but I just want to make sure. Reagan was 69 years old when he was sworn into office for his first term on January 20th, 1981. So was President Trump older than President Reagan when he was sworn in?
I think President Trump was the oldest president to be sworn in.
Yeah. For some reason, to me, President Trump, and this, I mean, no disrespect to President Reagan by any means, President Trump does not look as old as President Reagan did when they were both, but I'm trying to think back. I just viewed at the time, maybe it's because I'm older. I just viewed President Reagan as more of a grandfatherly type
figure. And well, I don't think that necessarily about President Trump, even though they're the same age.
But didn't that fit his personality? Didn't that fit Reagan's personality?
Totally different personalities, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump.
But you are getting closer to that age.
Me.
You personally.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
Because when Reagan was president, I was in my teens and 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at someone who's 72 and you're going,
I'd have been not necessarily that old. I'd have been in my early 20s. He was elected in he was elected in 80, right?
1980.
So I was born in 63. I'd have been 17 and been in high school. But anyway, that's the reason probably. It's my perception because of my own age. But I just think, what we can learn from President Trump is that Big Macs work. a steady diet of fast food will
apparently
give you the energy and strength you need to be to lead the free world.
Right.
So anyway, if I were McDonald's, I would consider getting the president to do an commercial. A commercial for me.
Yeah, because he needs the money.
Yes. Right. He needs the money. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We're joined now by Dr. Alex McFarland, who's the host, co-host with Brother Bert Harper each afternoon here from 3 to 4 Central Time on American Family Radio with the show Exploring the Word. And by that we mean exploring the Word. The Word is the Bible, the Word of God. And they do a live on the radio Bible study each afternoon here on American Family Radio. How you doing, Alex?
Doing great, fellas. Good to be with you.
Hey, how often do you and Bert take calls?
Every day.
Every single day?
Mm-hmm, we do. The first half of the show, we go through the Bible, and right now we're in 2 Peter. And then, you know, basically the final half to final 25% of the show, we take phone calls. Now, on Fridays, we pretty much do phone calls the entire show.
Now, do you know how risky it is to take phone calls?
About the Bible?
About the Bible on live radio? I got to give it up to you and Bert.
Well, you know, and I will tell you, once in a blue moon, somebody will ask a question that we really just don't know the answer to, and we'll say, listen, give us a day or two, we'll get back to you on that. So we try to, you know, give a factual, biblical answer to all the questions.
I like the way Brother Bert handles those difficult questions. Alex, yeah. Do you want to take that one?
And sometimes I'll take it away, Bert.
I'm sorry, Bert. I couldn't hear the caller.
Yeah, I've got
something
some static here.
Bert, you'll have to handle this. I couldn't hear clearly, so you want to tackle that one?
So when they ask a question about like the Bermuda Triangle or something, you'll say, right. "Hey, let me get back to you."
Where does that fit?
The Hollow Earth theory or something.
Yeah. Anyway, it is a excellent program. Mm-hmm. That Bert and Alex do each afternoon here. We invite you to tune in this afternoon and see what the questions will be from the callers.
Right. Well,
you're studying, where in the Bible are you, Peter?
Today we'll be in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter's a short book, but it's power-packed. But listen to this, guys. It's just amazing. I went in the other day to ship a package, and the young lady had heard the show. And
your hometown?
Yeah, in North Carolina. I went in a place. Angie and I went in to ship a package. And so we start talking to this young lady. She was a college student. She's about 22. And we led her to the Lord. She had heard the show. She had some spiritual questions. And I thought, she's probably a Christian. And I said, well, tell me about you know the Lord, right? And she wasn't sure. Monday night this week, we led this young lady to Christ. Wow. And I give God the glory. That show... You know, I think the majority of listeners are probably believers already, and they've got Bible questions. But Bert and I, we've seen some folks come to Christ on the air, and then we've seen this ripple effect, like Monday night when we led the girl to Christ at the shipping place.
Wow!
That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
And you know, I don't think we have a station there where you live, do we? She must have heard it on the internet, or maybe traveling.
Fayetteville is not too far away. Okay. Wilmington, we're on in Wilmington.
Yeah, we have a big station in Fayetteville.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Bert and I went to Fayetteville to speak about a year ago. And honest engine, And we promoted it, you know, for several weeks. We had 3,000 people come out for a Friday night rally, thanks to the Fayetteville station.
Fayetteville, North Carolina, we're talking about, not Arkansas.
Right, right.
Hey, what did you think about the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting in Dallas? Any reflections there you'd like to share with us?
Well,
because you are, you know, SBC,
hey,
right?
I love the Baptist denomination. I came to Christ through the Baptist Church when I was a college student, and I'm an ordained Southern Baptist preacher, although I go into all sorts of churches. You know, mixed emotions. Anytime, you know, Christians come together for world missions and for the gospel, I'm all about that. But, you know, I will say I'm really praying for the denomination.
From what perspective?
Praying for what?
Well, you know, I'm just concerned. Let me say this. There have been mainline denominations that in decades past decided to be less about biblical truth and the Great Commission and more about social justice activism. And, you know, I don't know, but I just pray and hope that the SBC will remain on point with winning souls to Jesus, taking the Word of God for what it says, and believing it, living it, proclaiming it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying yay or nay, I'm just saying I pray that the SBC doesn't go the way of other mainline denominations and become more about, you know, being social justice warriors and less about disciples of the gospel.
Mm. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, related to that question you just brought up, we've discussed this on this program, Alex. Sometimes I think Christians confuse teachings or admonitions or instructions from the Bible that are meant for us to apply in our individual lives, one-on-one with people. And some Christians extrapolate from that or misuse the Bible, in my opinion, oftentimes, and apply that to government policy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, the Bible teaches that we're to care about people who are poor, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to care about, right? People who are poor. Now, and our country cares about people who are poor. But that instruction is for me, Tim Wildman, the Christian, to care about mm-hmm. the people that I may see who are in need, right?
Right.
Take in the stranger, or whatever it says, whatever that biblical thing is, the biblical verse, that illegal, that oftentimes some of our brothers and sisters try to do to promote letting people hear illegally. What is it?
Matthew 25. I was a stranger and you took me in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was a stranger and you took me in. In other words, all these verses are about how we as individual Christians should care, and the church should care about people and their needs, who are hurting, who are poor, who are down and out, who are distressed, all these things. And those, we're to practice those. And the Christian church has for 2,000 years. The Christian church in the world has taken care of more people and helped more people than any government ever has. If you look at the history of the world, I could spend a lot of time documenting that right here, but I won't. I think that's safe to say. Now, is the government supposed to forgive people 70 times 7, Alex,
no,
before they go to jail? I mean, isn't that the Christian way? Shouldn't we advocate, like, if somebody commits a crime, that we go ahead and forgive them? Because that's what the Bible teaches us to do, right?
You're making a great point. You're making a great point. There's a lot of very selective use of the Bible on the part of those that really are
social justice warriors.
You know, in previous generations, we might have called them bleeding heart liberals.
Right.
Now it's social justice warriors. But no, you know, in Romans chapter 13. Verses 1 and 2, it talks about the government, the parameters of an ordered society, the governing authorities are sanctioned by God. And Romans actually says that the government, a just government, is the minister of God. Why? Because it creates an orderly context for life, freedom, and the proclamation of the gospel. So I would argue, and of course I don't know another person's heart, but those well-intentioned but misguided people that want open borders and a welfare state, they're really undermining the freedom to spread the gospel, not helping it.
Well, some of the some conservative Christians, otherwise known as evangelicals, who we would agree with on matters of doctrine and theology, they're pushing that stuff about, you know, you're supposed to take in refugees from all over the world, unlimited, or either you're not acting Christianly. And so they come down on President Trump when he says, no, no, wait a minute. We don't need to be just taking in people from all over the world. We need to vet them more. We need to screen them. We might need to slow down the numbers of people coming into our country from around the world, refugees or otherwise. And then our Christian brothers go, that is so bigoted by Trump, because we need to let all these people in, because that's the Christian compassionate thing to do. You see what I'm saying? Sort of blur the lines between... And we would say, yes, we as Christians individually should care about people, but we can't. That doesn't mean our government has to take in everybody and anybody from around the world, or either we're a bunch of bigots. You see what I'm saying? That just it's so frustrating sometimes when people who we would agree with, they blur the lines and they intentionally, I think, try to confuse people and misuse the Bible, quite frankly.
Do you remember that quote years and years ago?
I need an amen,
ago?
Alex. I need an amen right there.
An amen.
Don't need any ambiguity that you disagree with me at all. I think this is important to me, and I'm just kidding. Go ahead,
Alex. You're right. Yeah. Years ago, and somebody will remember who says, somebody said if you're not a liberal at 25, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 35, you have no brain. Do you remember that quote?
That's good.
But it's really good.
I like that, yeah.
So I've heard that quote since I was a kid. But here's my point. I pray the SBC has not become America's largest youth group. Now, do you guys know what I mean by that?
Yes, yeah, I know.
I'm pretty sure I know what you mean.
And listen, I was a youth pastor for 11 years. I love it. I've been there, done that, and I still speak to many thousands of youth every year. But the very same people that would fault the president for having responsible immigration policies and vetting policies, and Tim, you're absolutely right, they attribute to the government verses that really apply to personal Christian charity.
Right.
When the government, we ought to applaud the government for being responsible and prudent. And then the very same social justice warriors will say Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. Listen, in the 19th century, under the evangelist Charles Finney urged people to get involved in politics. And there was a book published some years ago by Wheaton about our evangelical heritage, and it talked about slavery was ended largely because Finney got Christians involved in politics.
These Christians need to be involved in politics. Otherwise, we're going to leave all the decisions to the pagans.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that going to be good for us?
Right. Nope.
Okay. Alex, thanks for agreeing with me today.
Amen.
Appreciate it. Look forward to hearing you and Brother Bert skirt around the issues this afternoon.
God bless you all.
Thank you. I'm just teasing, folks.
Hey, I do want to make mention of the fact here before the break that it is Flag Day. I've had several of our viewers who are watching today's issues on Facebook remind us that it is Flag Day, which commemorates the adoption of the flag of the United States on June 14th, 1777. By resolution of the Second Continental Congress.
Oh, glory.
Yep.
We honor Oh, glory today. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.